Listen, before we get going this morning, let's do an exercise together, can we? And that is this, and it has very little to do with that, unless you feel so led. But it has to do with this. I had a week of talking to a lot of our people who are gone today, or who are not just gone, or how about sick, as sickness tends to be ravaging our church, as well as others. Talked to somebody from Orlando last night, and literally everybody at the particular church I was talking to, they said to me, literally everybody was sick, and I thought to myself, not literally everybody's sick, but they felt that a vast majority of their folks have been sick the past few weeks and struggling. And it just seems like something's on us, and you need to be aware of that. But I thought this morning what we would do, I hope it's a regular part of your prayers for Candlewood during the week. I hope you think of different individuals instead of just thinking about them, praying for them, which really makes a big difference. But I thought this morning what I would do is this. I would have you think of another person from Candlewood Church, could be here or not be here this morning. I would have you think of somebody. Do that right now. Think of somebody right now as the Lord lays things on your heart, which He does. Think of another person from Candlewood right now who's either here or not here. Now let's bow our heads, pray for that person. Would you do that? Let's do that together. And we know the Lord hears our prayers. So pray for that person, for their walk, for the things they're encountering, for things in their lives. Pray for them right now. And Father, we do pray for Candlewood Church right now, for what You have for us immediately. Father, we praise You for the opportunities for discipleship, for the things that are taking place as people are involved with each other. We thank You for that. And then, Father, we look to the future as to what You've called us to do and how You want us to do it. We ask that You continue to work Your will and Your good pleasure here and be glorified by Candlewood. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For those of you who've had children, or for those of you who maybe have some children right now, you're going to find out that there's a day coming up when the kid's going to come home from school or come home from somewhere else, friend's house, whatever, and the kid, your child, your beloved child, is going to say a word to you or a phrase to you or do an action that you'd never seen before, and they're just really little. And I would look at my kids come back from school and they'd say stuff to me that I didn't send them with. They brought it back to my house. And I would stare and look at them and I would make this phrase. Maybe you've done this before. Where'd you get that from? Which was usually me saying, I don't like what I just heard. Where'd you get that from? I'll smack that. No. Where did you get that from? And lo and behold, they say, oh, well, you know, Tommy did this and it just really, you're not doing that in this house again. Because I always felt like in my house, we should be the ones that are influencing other people's houses. We shouldn't be taking their stuff and letting it influence us. I don't know if you think of your house that way. That's the way I tried to implant that message into our kids. But the truth of the matter is, when I talk to church people, people who know Jesus Christ, and I say church, I don't mean a building, I mean the body of Christ, and I talk to people who say they know Jesus Christ, it's amazing how many times they have to be reminded that they are the influencer on others. They are the ones who are to be affecting others. They are to be the ones in the situations they're in, with friends, with relatives, with neighbors, with workmates. They are to be the ones, because of who they are in Jesus Christ, influencing others' thoughts, others' activities. I'm not saying judging them, but showing them another way in Jesus Christ. That's kind of neat, because if you look at the scripture, 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says this, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession." This is all pretty special. Did you get this? Chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation, a people for His own possession? Just that right there would be gold. It doesn't stop there. Look at the verse. That you may proclaim the excellence, Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. I am to be about the business of proclaiming the excellence of Him. I do it by what goes on in here, and I do it by what goes on out here. I do it what goes on in here, which then leads to stuff that goes on out there. People know that, I'll say it. There are people in every church meeting I've been in that smell different than other people. You know who you are. I'm talking sometimes they smell good, sometimes they don't smell good. There was one guy this is too bad to even tell you this. There was one guy I knew for years, and I cannot believe you believe the way his breath smelled. I mean, he'd be getting out of his car and you could smell his breath. And it was like his wife never told him that his breath stunk. He was a nice guy. But he'd come in and you just try to keep your head out of the line of sight from his mouth so you didn't get a direct inhale of whatever was in his mouth. Now, you're laughing, but you've known people like this. Some people have particular smells. Listen to this. We, in Jesus Christ, are to have a particular smell. There's to be a thing around us, but it's not to be detestable like the guy who would come in with the bad breath or the woman who hadn't bathed or the man who hadn't bathed in days or any of that kind of stuff. We're supposed to have a particular smell and thing about us that people can see that we're different because we proclaim the excellence of Him. We're not to be on the defensive all the time. This is our offensive weapon in Christ. This is what we do. This is what we seek to be. Hold it. This is the mission that we've been put on. So this morning we look at a piece of Scripture from Matthew chapter 5. And I'm going to read this for you and I'm going to say this. The fact of the matter is there are two unique descriptions of the mission that we're on here in Matthew chapter 5. And I'm going to blow through a bunch of factoids that you can write some down and get an idea about these two major topics. Also, I can go like this. Once it's there, I want to take it and twist it a little bit and go, but did you realize this? And that's what our whole morning is. Can get it done in 5 minutes? I think we'll take a little more time. Okay, let's pray. Father, we are excited to look at your Scripture this morning. Jesus, when you taught, it was clear, it was concise, it was truth. It was truth for them, and it's truth for us today. So, Father, as we look at this Word, we invite, we ask, we implore that your Holy Spirit, our teacher, would teach us by this Scripture. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. Let me read for you. You've heard this before. Maybe. Maybe not. Here it is. You are the salt of the earth. Have you heard that before? Everybody just this. Let's do it. Could you shake your head? Have you heard that before? You heard that before? I've heard this for years. Have you not? I used to lead a Bible study that we called, watch this, this is genius, salt. It was a different day and age. Today, not so much, okay? You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Bet you nobody's ever talked about that too much before. Let's keep going. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, same manner of thinking, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Got your note sheet? First point is this. Jesus teaches us to be the salt. Jesus teaches us that we are to be salt, the salt of the earth. I thought what I would do is to make some observations about salt that don't matter at all, so don't write these down. But when I think of salt, we don't use a lot of salt in our house. I feel giddy about putting a little bit in food here and there. But the truth is, you probably think of salt like I do. It's the shaker on the table that is white. That's the salt. And, oh, maybe it conditions your water and softens it. You get that idea. And there have been a few times some nasty people, like some of you in here, had me in the ocean and dunked me that I didn't see coming. And I got salt water up my nose. So I know what that feels like, too. You all know who you do that. All you know who you are, okay? So that's all I know about salt. That's all there is to it. And I know doctors say, right now, stay away from it, but some of it's good for it, and they can't make up their minds. But salt in this culture is different. Here's where you want to pay attention. Because if you understand salt the way Jesus is talking in this cultural context, you go like this. You know what? Might say it this way. Jesus, that's genius. Now, obviously. But Jesus, that's genius. Way to tie into the culture with something they can understand. Get some of this down and understand it. It was so important, salt, that it was referred to in the writings of the day as divine. The Romans said that after the sun, salt was the most important thing in the universe. It was used to bind a covenant and seal a contract. It was traded like cash. It was put, this is great, I'm reading through the historical background stuff on this, and I see it was put on an open wound to prevent infections. I get that. But then in the next paragraph, I read this. In other cases, it was put on the open wounds of the enemy to cause stinging and pain and to get them to talk. It was a torture device. We are called to be salt of this earth, and we're responsible to be salt. But I don't get it. Well, I got to go further with the cultural illustration. Let's keep going. This was a culture who had no refrigeration. Salt to them was as precious as could be because it was used to preserve meat. If you're taking notes, you might put this down. It stopped spoilage and it stopped maggots from getting on your food. So if you understand the key characteristics of salt, and I've just glanced over them, for the culture of the day, and you start to understand what this means for our faith, salt, by the way, works slowly. Salt works slowly but surely. Here's a great word. You might want to get this down. It permeates everything it's on or near. It affects all it comes in contact with. It's subtle. You might not always see it working, but you can always tell its effects. That is a story that was known at the time from Greek mythology. And there was this one Greek female goddess who doesn't need to be named, and she had a reputation. Sometimes you saw her, sometimes you didn't. But here's what they said. Whenever she was present, whether you knew it or not, people who were sick got better. Wells that weren't working started producing water. Pools that were needed for the animals suddenly filled. Where an area was flooding, it somehow dried out. It was an amazing effect that she had. And everywhere she went, it was dramatic as she influenced everything, whether you could see it or not. So anytime something happened was good, they would give her the credit because she was the goddess that produced this. It's funny you can believe that stuff and struggle with believing in Jesus Christ who really lived. But that's what they would say. And I thought as I read that story, her influence is exactly what we're talking about right here that we're to have. Whether you see us or not, we permeate a situation. We have an effect on that situation for Jesus Christ. We're always having an influence for Him. I made a short list of some things I was thinking about. You know what we don't realize? You know what we don't realize as believers in Christ? That in the situation we're in, it is us as salt. Listen carefully. Big picture stuff here. It's us as salt that combats moral decay. Ever think of it that way? It's us as salt who prevents spiritual decay. It's us as salt who's a preservative of the things of God in our culture. It's us as salt that preserves anything God might want to do in the situations we find ourselves in. It's us as salt that brings purity by the Word of God and the gospel message. And without us, I'm going to make this big statement, without us involved in the culture and living in this world, the culture itself would degenerate quicker than it already is. And it wouldn't take much of an observation to say this. It really is. But without us, it would happen quicker and surer without the believers of Jesus Christ. Now, I've heard people preach. I listen to sermons every week. I hear people at this point jump off and make a big deal about the fact that's why we need to be the salt out there to preserve our culture. And I say, I'll go the other way. It's because we're not striving to be the salt that the culture continues to decay around us. Because we do feel, a lot of us, we've lost our voice. I've used a term in the past couple of years, which is either maybe very wrong or very clever, but the term is this. We've hit a tipping point, and I don't think we're going to get it back. I read my Bible. It doesn't seem like we get it back. And it seems like it's going to go this way. You'll have to figure out how you're going to live in it and still be the salt. And that's very, very true. We strive to remain the salt. That's why we're in the Word. That's why we walk with God in a holy lifestyle. We try to keep our saltiness. Park that thought. Let's move on to the second one in verse 14. In verse 14, Jesus says, "You're the light of the world." Jesus teaches that we must be light. Ah, this is a different aspect. Salt kind of slowly permeates and works its way through. I can think of some spices that I've used that work their way through and they just influence everything, which is why you just use a little bit. But light's a different story. It's really the opposite of salt. Light exists for others to see. Light shines. If you and I were in a dark room right here and I were to go over here and get my flashlight, hold on, And if I were to get my flashlight and go on and brag to you, this is the greatest flashlight I've ever had. This flashlight is the prettiest flashlight I've ever had. I love this flashlight. This is my favorite flashlight. And honestly, I'm a guy. And at my house, I honestly do have my favorite flashlight. And if you come over sometime and want to see my favorite flashlight, I'll show you my favorite flashlight, which I've done with some of the staff guys. You can see the smile back there. He knows. I've got a favorite flashlight. If you want to see, I'd be glad to show it to you. But I've got one. But hold it. Hold it. Suppose this. Suppose I never turned it on. How about I tell you this? The light's in there. Trust me. It's got light in it. And you would look at me and go, Mike, you've lost it. I say, no. It's got light in it, and it's wonderful. You wouldn't believe it, would you? Until I did what? Turned it on. And then you go, oh, I see what you're talking about. Your favorite flashlight is a bright one, Mike. It's perfect. And that's why we can never say that the flashlight is to be hidden. Here Jesus gives us an example of the fact that the city on the hill cannot be hidden. The light, the lamp light, it can't be hidden. Light works openly. It's not meant to be hidden. In fact, anybody who needed light would be a fool to hide the light. Yeah, here's my favorite flashlight, and you know what I'm going to do? Click, click, I'm going to turn it on, and I'm going to put it here, and then I'm going to cover it with a bushel basket. You would look at me and go, what is the problem with you? It has to shine so that we can all use the light. Just keep getting the picture in your mind. This light is direct. It's active. It's aggressive. While salt permeates and preserves, the light exposes the situation you're in, both the good and the bad. Light is visible. Light reveals. Light illuminates. Light is noticeable. The city on the hill, according to Jesus, can't be hidden. You can always see the city. You fly at night. I've done it a dozen times or more. And you're looking out your window in the middle of the night, and it's a clear night, and you're looking down like I am. And you're seeing nothing because it's nighttime. Until you come up on a town or a city, and you look at all the lights in the streets, you go, oh, wow, that really lights up at night. Yeah, and they can't hide that. And that's the point Jesus is going for. You can't hide this. You're a shiner of the light, because a little bit later on, Jesus is going to say that I am the light of the world. Oh, put those two thoughts together. And I'm the shiner of His light. We show the true knowledge of God, the gospel, the ultimate good news. We expose the sinful elements of the world and erroneous teaching. We stand up with the truth of God in the situation that we're in. And we call it out according to the Word of God. I just read the other day, not to start a discussion on this, but I just read the other day that in England they've got more than 100 gender designations. So I started to think, more than 100. I know two. And then I'm not going to do it here. And then he started going down the list of the other ones. It was quite a list. Quite a list of other gender designations. So with that said, I want to stand on biblical truth that God made them male and female. God created man, male and female. He didn't do any gender designations. And if you think you are dog man, and I love dogs more than anybody I know. I make friends with dogs I know and friends I don't know. I just love to be with dogs, the pets. I miss not having a dog. Reality is this. Mike can't register as the dog man because I love dogs and I identify with them. Truth of the matter is God made them male and female. So the truth of the matter is the Scripture paints the light on that. It shows the path to God. It shows what God said about that. Now, you may have never thought about it this way, but you've got these two sides at work at you. The permeating part of you is salt on the inside, that thing that permeates a situation just by being there. And then you've got this other thing. Bam! The light. And you shine the light, the truth of the Lord, and you shine the light for the culture that needs it. By the way, another not taught much point is this, is that you are both the salt and the light to the fellow believers you're with, as well as to the people out there that don't know Christ. You don't know how important it is to come in here on a Sunday and realize that I'm with like people who believe in Jesus Christ. And I have a responsibility to these people to be salt and to light. They have a responsibility to be salt and light to me. And then we also have the responsibility to go out there and share Christ. We know we're to witness Christ. We hear about that in the Scripture. We witness Christ to each other. And then we witness Christ out there to the people that don't know Him. Now, I wanted to get through that whole bunch of stuff on salt and light so I could do this. Looking at your notes? There's a reality check here. And here's where the rubber meets the road with our culture. Are you ready? I truly believe that you can make yourself not light and not salt as you walk with Jesus Christ. And as that walk falters and weakens and becomes not important or a priority to you, and we've watched this in people's lives, you can make yourself ineffective and useless. Let me carry out the rest of the salt illustration here in the Scripture. The salt in this area was frequently contaminated with other minerals that had crept in or formed with the salt, and it robbed the salt of its saltiness. But you didn't know that until you brought your bag of salt home from the store and you got it in your kitchen and you thought to yourself, I wonder if this is any good. And so you do like I do. You reach up a piece and you lick on it to tell if it's any good. And you don't taste much saltiness. And you realize that it had been corrupted and it was no longer any good. And you know, see the Scripture here, what it says in verse 13, it's no longer good for anything except what? To be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Another passage says thrown out on the pathway. You know why? Because they threw it out on a pathway where people would crush it into the ground so it didn't make it into the vegetation and hurt the vegetation. They threw it out because it was absolutely useless. You can become ineffective and you can become useless as far as your saltiness. Watch. People can tell. Listen, people can tell. You're not salty anymore. This is, I can go a lot further with this. I'm going to stop there, okay? Reminds me of my aunt when I was a kid. And my aunt was an older lady. I mean, older aunt, okay? Like a great aunt or whatever. And she had a certain smell to her. And she also had a certain taste to her. You're not eating anything now, are you? Because I don't want to. I'm going to go further, okay? This is gross. She insisted when we were little kids of kissing us on the lips. And while I think that's terrible, she did it because we were instructed to let Aunt Mary kiss you on the lips. And so she did. But she was always wet in her mouth. And so when she kissed you, you tasted her. And she tasted terrible. Hey, these are memories I have to live with, therapy for I don't know how many more years to get through this. So she didn't smell real good, and she tasted even worse. You get the idea? And in a lot of ways in her life, she made her saltiness ineffective and useless. And this isn't about losing your salvation. It's about becoming contaminated. Listen carefully. It's about losing the saltiness, losing your purpose, losing your effectiveness for the things of God. It is this. It is rolling over in the morning in bed and going like this. Ah, what's the use? I don't care. You're supposed to get together with other Christians. Could be a church, could be somewhere else. Ah, what's the use? That whole thing takes over and you become ineffective. You can see it in people's lives, but you need to see it first in your life, because the distinctiveness that we have is salt and light. And if we're not salty anymore, and if our light is hidden and nobody can see it, then we're not doing what we were called to do in the time we were left here. I still say, if I was Jesus, I would literally let people come to believe in me. And then I would go like this, snatch, and take them off the earth to be with me forever. But Jesus stepped in our lives all at different places and caused us to believe in Him. And then He said this, now you got a mission. Now you got a thing I'm calling you to do in a place, a particular place where nobody else is going to go. And I'm giving you the command to be salty and to be light. Stay with me, walk with me, and do those things in the situations until I tell you your time is up. And you know how you'll know when your time is up? You'll be dead. He didn't say it like that, but if he did, you get the idea. When I'm done with using you like that, you come to be with me forever. And boy, is it going to be fantastic. Real life with each other. Get the idea? That's why we're left here. That's why it takes place. I can compromise on my holiness. I can compromise on my purity. And I can become useless to the cause of Christ. Not saying lose your salvation. Read Corinthians. Those people were in sin doing hideous stuff. Some stuff I won't even mention from here. Read Corinthians. You'll see that. And they were still called brothers and sisters in Christ. But I'm saying this as far as being effective for Jesus Christ. It's like this salt thrown out and trampled on the path. And there's a key question I have. Look on your notes. I didn't put it there, but you need to write it down. There's a key question here, and it is this. When I think about the people in the body that I know who believe in Jesus, let's just say when I think of church people, when I think of people in the body, here's the rest of the statement. Am I leading them toward Jesus or not? That's the people who are fellow believers in Christ. Am I leading them to Jesus or not? Now let's expand that a little bit. What about the people you know who don't know Jesus? And you know who they are? Relatives, family, friends, neighbors, workmates. You get the idea. Think about the people around you who don't know Christ. Am I about the business of leading them toward Jesus Christ or not? And listen carefully to me. There's no middle ground answer to those two questions. It's either yes, I am, or no, I'm not. And if it's no, I'm not, then you're not being a light and a salt. And this is hard scripture. I've done something like this in a conference one time. And the fact of the matter is you've got to come to grips that the scripture is as clear as a bell on this. And there's no alternative with what you do with your life. You're either salt and you're light to the believing community or the non-believing community. And I need to realize once again that I'm a different substance than the people around me. I've got the Holy Spirit in me. I'm not of this earth. I just have a short time here to complete the mission and the assignment that Jesus gave me. You see, toward the end of this, Jesus says in verse 16, He gives us a purpose of me being salt and light. And that's that I might be observed by others. I'm shining by what I do. Good works from inside comes out, can't help but come out, which leads to further glorifying of Jesus Christ of God. Others respond and know what my reputation is. And they react to my good deeds and they're pointed to a right relationship with Jesus Christ. All because of the fact with the Holy Spirit in me. I am salt and I am light. Or hold it. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm only good to be trampled outside. That hurts. Would you bow your head with me? Our Father, You made us salt by the new life we have in Christ. You compared us to being a light, where that new life with Your Son Jesus shines out. You did this because You want to use us like this. Father, I would pray right now for us at Candlewood that You would keep us from being polluted by the world that's around us. Father, I pray that we would not be contaminated to the point of being useless like the salt that was thrown out on the path. Father, in fact, I would pray not just now because it's the message, but I would pray that we'd be mindful during the week that we are salt and that we're light to the people that You put around us. You have put around us. Father, I pray right now that You give us open doors. Open doors to be that salt and light. I pray that this week would be a different week because we'd be mindful of it, Father. And as we are mindful, Father, I pray that You'd be glorified and that people would come to know You. For it's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen.